Could President Trump initiate the building of the Third Temple as head of Edom? What does that mean? Also, our good friends at Right Wing Watch and Reformation Charlotte just gave me and Mark Taylor a whole bunch of free publicity. So a big thank you to them. All that and more on today's Beck Report. Hey, everybody, hope you're doing well. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're looking at me saying, Josh, something looks a little different. Did you get a new pair of glasses? No, actually, today I haven't put anything in my hair. So that's what this is all about. Now, the reason being, I just got over the worst stomach flu I've ever had in my life. I didn't know stomach flus could get this bad. I didn't post anything about it because, frankly, the people who know me and follow me don't do this because they know I don't like it, but I have a lot of just kind of drifters come in and out. I didn't want to hear a bunch of conspiracy theories from people saying that it was a targeted attack from somebody at the conference. Somebody intentionally got me sick. And I also didn't want a bunch of home remedies. You know, everybody thinks that they have the answer on how to get somebody healthy when they're sick. And I'm one of those. I believe that I have the answer too. So I just didn't want to get 5,000 of those. So I didn't post anything about it, but I'm feeling much better now because of some home remedies that came to me from Joe Horn, author of Time Bomb. I mean, he literally wrote the book on the subject, so he's going to be the one that I'm going to talk to first. Him and then my wife, Christina, they got me back to health. Also, my co-author, Stephen Bancars, got sick with the same thing. So as far as I know, no one else from the conference got this, but Steve started showing symptoms. We arrived there Thursday, and I think it was sometime around Friday he started showing symptoms. And then about 12 to 16 hours after he started showing symptoms, I started having symptoms. So I was able to get through most of the conference without any problem. I didn't really start having a hard time with it until the live paranormal recording, and I got through that fine. I was able to talk about some things. But for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, by the way, this was the first annual Defender conference. Skywatch TV has put on its own conference. You know, like a lot of these prophecy conferences that go around, we're doing ours also. So it was the first one. It went great. Absolutely loved it. And a lot of people seemed to be happy with it. But that's where I picked something up and got sick. So the past, while I was at the conference, in between speaking times and book signings and in between all that, I was able to record a few PEC reports, usually at night. That's why the past few PEC reports have been like me in a hotel room in a t-shirt and stuff. So I did that, and then I'm glad that I got ahead of some of those, though, because I didn't expect to pick up a stomach flu. So since I've been home, I have been in bed sick for 5 or 6 days now. And only today, finally, I'm starting to feel like a human being again. But it was really bad. Like, I've never been that sick before. There was one night where it got so bad, like, I honestly thought that I was going to die. I thought, all right, this is it. I'm done. Like, but thankfully, that didn't happen. But anyway, so obviously, because of that, I didn't keep up with anything like shaving or my hair or anything like that. And then this morning, I woke up. I'm feeling a lot better. I started feeling better last night. I don't think I'm 100% out of the woods yet, but I'm feeling better than I have in a week. So I figured, well, I want to get a PEC report done for today. I want to get it done early enough. So our amazing editors who work for Daily Renegade can have time to take care of it and put it up for today. So that's the deal with this. But again, you know, like we all know, it's not a beauty contest. I still put on the coat, so we look a little bit professional. But so we got a lot to talk about today, and believe it or not, today's PEC report is not all about my hair. There's been a really interesting story on Trump and the initiation of the building of the Third Temple that just broke. We got to talk about that. Also, we have to talk about Right Wing Watch and Reformation Charlotte. That part will probably be for members only. But if you follow Peck Report at all, you're probably familiar with. I've talked about Reformation Charlotte before. I did a whole segment when there was a prominent Christian leader who decided to renounce Christianity, and they wrote an article, as I loosely deem it an article. They wrote an article about it. Really, it was just a hit piece mocking this guy for denying Christianity. I mean, there was no heart in it. There was no sense of, like, you know, oh my gosh, can we pray for him? Is there anything we can do? Like, you know, he must be going through a really big crisis right now. There was none of that. There was no compassion, no understanding. It was just throwing the guy under the bus when he's probably already at the lowest place in his life. So we at Peck Report, we talked about it and we prayed for him. And, you know, we'll have to continue to pray for him and hope that he comes back to the faith, or comes to the faith for the first time. Maybe he wasn't part of the faith in the first place. So, but anyway, so they do a lot of hit pieces like that. They recently did one on me and Mark Taylor, so we're going to talk about that. Also, Right Wing Watch. Now, Reformation Charlotte, that's what I call, this is like the pinnacle of gotcha ministries. I call them gotcha ministries. There's a bunch of ministries like this. Pulpit and the Pen is another one, where basically they do these hit pieces on people because it's for shock value and it gets clicks. It's essentially gossip, but it gets clicks from Christians because Christians don't feel like it's gossip. It's like the Christian's way of gossiping without having to feel guilty for committing some sin or something. But it is gossip, and there's a lot of false information in these things. Now, Right Wing Watch, that's not necessarily like a Christian organization. It's more of a leftist blog that looks at people on the right, deems them all hateful racists, and then you know, it's more of a political thing, you know, deems everybody on the right, you know, hateful racist. And then they write these so-called articles, again, loosely using that term. But they write these articles that are basically just hit pieces. That's all they are. You know, it's kind of like a much smaller form of like Media Matters or something like that. So that's how they build their audience. And you know, the way that these two build their audience is exactly, they do it the same way. You know, it's shock value. It's gossip. It's like, oh, look what these crazy people are saying today. Come click on our ads, please. You know, it's that kind of stuff instead of actually learning something or trying to get the truth of the story. And look, it wouldn't be hard. I mean, there is plenty to criticize me about. You know, there's plenty. But all you find in these things, and I'll show you later, but all you find in them is a bunch of misinformation. Now, the funny thing is, I'm not upset about this at all. This is actually a lot of free publicity for me and for Mark Taylor. So I want to give a sincere thank you to Right Wing Watch and Reformation Charlotte for sending people our way. Because, you know, the interesting thing is people have minds of their own. You know, we all have brains. Some of us don't use them, but a lot of us like to. And when somebody reads an article, they have the option to go and watch the video. Now, it's interesting. What one of these did was they took a minute and a half section of the Into the Multiverse episode and they uploaded it to their own Vimeo account. So you don't see the full video. But people are smart and resourceful, and they can do a YouTube search and go watch the whole video. And then when people actually see what's said in context, they realize, oh, these articles are really just full of lies. It's a big hit piece. So I think that these two publications, again, loosely using that term, I think these two publications are, by and large, way underestimating the intelligence of their audiences. And I don't think that's going to help them in the long run. But in the meantime, this sort of thing is sort of looked at as a rite of passage for us people on the right and us Christians. So, yeah, I'm glad to be part of the club. It feels good. All right. And so we're going to talk more about that later. We'll let you know exactly what was said and you know why it's just so absurdly false. But before we do, let's talk about the possibility of a third temple, the possibility that Trump might initiate the building of the third temple. You know what? Actually, before we get to that, I want to I've been trying to break these up a little bit more, thinking that that might help the flow of the show. So I want to just quickly tell you about our friends at CBD Pure and CBD Pets. If you're looking for a really good CBD, it's hard to find. You know, it's hard to come by. You don't really know what's in it. A lot of times it's like, you know, your friend's uncle makes it in a basement and he sells it, and you try that and then it doesn't do anything. Well, all the guesswork is now done for you. You don't have to worry about this stuff anymore. CBD Pure and CBD Pets is the absolute best on the market today, the best in CBD products. And I use this. I use it every day. I take it an hour before bed and I sleep amazing. I haven't slept this good since I was a kid. I mean, it's wonderful. It helps out a lot. It also has helped my chronic pain in that I don't have to take as much kratom as I used to have to take, which is nice. So if you suffer from chronic pain, a lot of people have said that this helps. Again, it's anecdotal evidence, so you got to do your own research. You should not just take somebody's word for it. You should do your own due diligence and do your own research into this. But CBD Pure and CBD Pets makes it extremely easy to do so. They test every single batch that they make through a third-party testing facility, and they put the results on their website to show that every batch that they make is purely organic, it's pesticide-free, it's non-GMO, it's all the good stuff that you want. They really live up to their name, CBD Pure. They also make a version of this for your pets. So if you have a cat or a dog with anxiety disorders, or maybe your cat's just tearing up the living room and you don't want it to do that anymore, this might help. I've heard a lot of people have had success with this. So they make it for your pets as well. If you would like to try this out, there is a money-back guarantee, so there really is no risk to you. You can go to dailyrenegade.com, find the ad, or you can just click in the link in the description below and go check it out there. You will not regret it. Okay, so this story comes from Breaking Israel News. And it's pretty interesting that Jewish sources are now hinting that the alliance between the U.S. and Israel is the prophetic end of days coming together of Esau and Jacob, you know, as a prelude to the building of the third temple. Now, some experts believe that President Trump fulfills many of the requirements for the leader of Edom that'll make this happen. So 2 weeks ago, there were two religious Jews that appeared before Rabbi Chaim Kanifsky, one of the most influential rabbis of this generation. And the emissaries reportedly bore an inquiry from President Trump asking when the Mashiach or Messiah will arrive. The rabbi avoided answering the question, asking instead when the American Jews will come to live in Israel. Now, many were skeptical of the story, rejecting the idea that Trump, who, you know, is reportedly a Christian, would inquire from a Jewish rabbi concerning the Messiah. But Trump, as the non-Jewish leader of the U.S., has according to some, has a prophesied role to play in the building of the temple. And it was for this reason that he inquired. That's what some are saying who believe in this interpretation of the prophecy. Trump wanted to know when he will be called upon to perform this role, apparently. Now, again, not everybody believes this interpretation of the prophecy. And a lot of this stuff is coming from Orthodox Jews. So obviously Orthodox Jews are going to have a very different interpretation of prophecy than we as Christians would. So, but again, you know, as I've said before, it's important to understand what the Orthodox Jews believe, especially those in leadership right now, because what they believe will dictate how they act, the actions that they take, and the actions that they take could have prophetic implications for us Christians. And that's why I say, you know, the best thing we can do is pray that they come to the saving grace of Jesus, that they come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and no other. You don't have to look for anybody anymore, because without accepting that, it's entirely possible there is one interpretation of the man of perdition prophecies that suggest he might set himself up as a false Messiah, and that the Jewish people unknowingly would welcome this individual in, thinking that he's the Messiah, but he's actually the Antichrist. So that's why it's really important to get these people saved. That's why we at Daily Renegade, we support two ministries that we actually just told you about, too. We recently did an interview with Shelley Neese, and she went into all the details about what they do for the Jewish people. But we support two ministries who support this effort in spreading the gospel to the Middle East and ministering to the Jewish people. You know, when you can minister to a Jewish person, they're going to be a lot more open to hearing what you have to say as a Christian. So that's always good. But anyway, so let's continue. So that's how, you know, that's how we as Christians should kind of look at this. They have a different view of Bible prophecy, of course. They're still looking for a Messiah, of course, which is incorrect. It's wrong. But we as Christians need to be the ones that can explain to them, why Jesus is the Messiah, how we can know that for sure, why they can trust the Gospels, you know, that kind of stuff. So continuing on, let's see, where'd we leave off here? Okay, so some were skeptical of that story. Now, this expectation regarding Trump was first expressed by the Sanhedrin after his election when they compared him to the Persian king Cyrus. We've all heard of this, the Cyrus prophecy, who commanded by God to facilitate the building of the second temple, specifically because he was influential in global politics. So Ezra 1:2 is where you get that. You know, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath Hashem. They're quoting the Israel Bible here, but hath Hashem, the God of heaven, given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, or Israel, or Jerusalem, excuse me, which is in Yehuda. So the comparison was so apt that it was adopted by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, who also compared President Trump to the Persian King Cyrus. Now, Rabbi Hillel Weiss, the spokesman for the Sanhedrin, noted that Trump's role in building the Third Temple was essential to so many of the issues that concern people around the world. So he said, quote, Trump can lead the nations of the world to global peace through building the temple, the source of peace. This will offset the disgraceful United Nations resolutions that are the root cause of increasing evil in the world, end quote. The Sanhedrin is currently working to create an organization of 70 nations based in Jerusalem to replace the United Nations. And Rabbi Weiss also explained, quote, the Jews will do the actual building of the Third Temple, but in order for the Third Temple to be a house of prayer for all nations, the nations must have a part in its creation. The troubles that are facing the world today are issues that can only be addressed by a higher level of international discourse and cooperation. The effort to erase national identities and national borders is diametrically opposed to this, and it is this new world order that Trump is really fighting. The solution is the Third Temple as a house of prayer for all nations and the organization of 70 nations, both of which require nations to express their unique identities, end quote. Now, this has led some Christians to be really nervous about supporting anything Israel does. And unfortunately, some of this has gotten into some pretty anti-Semitic territories. And I see this quite a bit because I think some Christians who only think about these issues on a shallow level, and I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm just saying that if you don't do, like, not everybody has hours and days and weeks and months to do a whole bunch of research into these topics. But that's why, I mean, I'm a firm believer in just don't have a solid opinion about something. You're not required to have a solid opinion about something until you can fully research it. You know, it's perfectly fine to say, you know, I really don't know about that issue. You know, I can kind of see it this way, I can kind of see it that way, but, you know, I don't really know. I have that position on a ton of issues. Now, when it comes to this one, because, like, somebody commented, and normally I don't, like, just single out one comment or anything like that, but I think that this is representative of what a lot of Christians might be thinking is, well, you know, if we support Israel, let's say having access to their history, you know, having access to the Temple Mount or whatever. Isn't that just us supporting the building of the Third Temple? And we know that the Antichrist is going to use that for evil purposes. So doesn't that mean that we're supporting the Antichrist? You know, we can't do that. Thus, we can't support Israel. No, that again, and I'm not being insulting. That's just a very shallow way to look at it. That is the same as saying, well, really, it's the same argument that the left is trying to use towards gun control. So, you know, should we not support the Second Amendment because some evil people are going to use it to hurt others, to do evil things? You know, or what about free speech? Shouldn't we regulate speech? Shouldn't we put laws around speech because somebody might say something mean and hurt somebody's feelings? So this is kind of how I look at it. I support freedom, knowing full well that some people are going to abuse that freedom and use it for evil purposes. But I still support freedom because I think it's better for the majority to be free and make their own choice with, you know, to do what they're going to do with it, and then have a few use it for evil purposes, and then, you know, we take care of that with our laws and with things like that. I think that's preferable rather than the other end, which would be totalitarianism, you know, which would be keep everybody so oppressed that they don't even have the choice to make a mistake. You know, I think that is evil. That is outright evil, and I don't support that at all. And I don't think most Christians do. But again, we just have to think about these things a little bit deeper. So if we support Israel's freedom, does that mean that we are supporting the Antichrist, essentially, or even the Third Temple? No, if they use their freedom to do that, that's unfortunate, but that's why I advocate going and witnessing to Jews and converting them to Christianity if we can, you know, through love and through prayer and through, you know, obviously through the gospel first and foremost. But that's why I advocate ministering to the Jews, giving them the gospel, trying to bring them to Christ. Because think about this: if every Jew got saved, they wouldn't even want to build a third temple, right? They would all be Christian, and it would be a non-issue at that point. Now, I don't think that's a likely scenario, but just because it's not likely, or just because it's not going to happen, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't go and get as many saved as possible. I mean, and so supporting freedom is not evil or wrong. If they are going to use their freedom to do something that's against God, that's on them. It's not on you for supporting freedom. So again, it's just like you don't have any responsibility for all the mass shootings that have been happening just because you support the Second Amendment. You're supporting freedom, knowing that people are going to use it for evil purposes, but the greater good outweighs the evil that some people are going to do. Think about this. God himself awards us freedom of choice. God himself gives us free will and the option to choose to reject him. Obviously, we should not do that. We should not reject God. But he hasn't made it impossible for us. He's all powerful. He could totally oppress us if he wanted to. Like, he could oppress us, not give us any free will, and force us all into heaven, right? He could have just not given us free will at all to begin with. But he didn't do that. And why? Because true love needs true choice. You know, true love needs that freedom. It needs freedom. And that's why I support freedom. God supports freedom. You know, even though he knows full well that people are going to do some really evil things with the freedom that the free will that he's awarded us. I mean, the Hitler, for example, just for one of many, really evil things. But In God's wisdom, it's better to have a world of free will and free choice and have some people use that for evil, have some people abuse that, and there will be justice for those people. There is judgment. There's eternal judgment for those people. So it's not like they're getting away with anything. But it's better to have a world like that rather than it would be to oppress everybody and not give them freedom of choice at all. You know, if Adam and Eve did not have the option to eat from the tree, if God didn't have that tree in the garden and said, you can do whatever you want, I have taken out any possibility that you could possibly do anything wrong, that would be a far more oppressive world and then, you know, not true love. So that's why, and a lot of people have had a difficulty in kind of understanding how to think about Israel, how to support it, especially with like all the evil things that happened there. And look, it's the same with America. There's a lot of evil things that happen in America, but you can still support America. You just work to improve the evil things. It's the same with Israel. So I support freedom, and if that means that they're going to use their freedom to build this abomination of a third temple, then look, they are free. They should be free to do that. I don't have to agree with their choice to do that. Neither do you. We can totally disagree with it and say that that's really, really bad idea and really wrong. Because the Messiah has already come. But also, that's where it's up to us to convince the Jewish people that the Messiah has come, and there is no need for a third temple, and that actually a third temple is sinful. That's up to us to convey that message. But we don't take away their freedom to do that. That's evil, that's oppressive, that's Hitlerian. That is the wrong move. So, That's how I look at it. You know, people are free to disagree, but that's how I see it. I think that I fully believe that's the correct view. That's to look at it. But also, again, you have to assume that your interpretation of the third temple prophecy is correct, because there's a lot of Christians that don't believe the third temple's that those prophecies are literal at all. I personally believe they are literal. I believe that it is literally talking about a literal temple. But again, there are different ways to look at it. And just because I believe something doesn't mean that it's absolute fact. I could be wrong. I very well could be wrong. It could turn out that the third temple prophecies are fulfilled in more of a non-literal way. And there's several options for that available within Christian eschatology today. It could be. So I would never want to make some, you know, big life-changing decision based on something that I don't know for an absolute fact, right? So, you know, even though it's probable, it's not entirely known. Also, there's also the part, and then we'll move on, but there's also the part of this that it's in prophecy, so no matter what we do or what we don't do, it's going to happen anyway. Now, does that mean that we just go full force and try to make it happen? No. No, but to not support Israel's freedom for fear that they're going to use that freedom in a negative way and bring about this prophecy, I think personally is immature. Because either way, the prophecy is getting fulfilled, however it's going to be fulfilled. It's getting fulfilled. That doesn't mean that you have to support the third temple. You shouldn't support the third temple. You should not support it financially. You shouldn't support it in discussions with your friends. You know, as a Christian, you should know why you don't support it. But that doesn't mean that you should not support Israel's freedom. They like every other country, they need their freedom. They should have it. They should not be oppressed. They should not have other countries or other people groups telling them what they can do with their own sites, you know, with their own land. It's ridiculous. So that's kind of how I look at that. But okay, so Rabbi Weiss emphasized that the concept of international cooperation is based in the universal covenant that God made with Noah, which established the 70 nations and requires the participation of all nations. Again, this is Judaism. This isn't really Christianity. We as Christians don't really have a frame of reference for like Noahide laws and things like that. Because, you know, our solution to how do the Gentiles, how can they be reconciled to God? Well, our solution is Jesus Christ, you know, plain and simple. So Rabbi Weiss says, quote, just like the covenant God made with the Jews, this covenant is eternal. Just as the covenant with Abraham had ramifications for the well-being of the Jews due to their adherence to the covenant with the nations also has real-world ramifications. God promised Noah that he would not bring another flood of water, but the Midrash teaches us that, as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, the nations are held accountable for their part in the Noahide covenant. Rabbi Weiss continues, quote, Trump needs to take his role as the leader in the universal return to this covenant. He began this by rejecting the anti-Bible United Nations, but just as Cyrus did, he needs to turn the world toward the temple, just as Abraham pleaded with Hashem, God literally the name, in order to save the non-Jews of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are pleading and praying that Trump will turn the nations towards Jerusalem for their sake, end quote. Now, There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of misinformation too, but there's a lot of information out there on what is the 70 nations and Noahide laws and what's this all about. There's actually a really good, we've talked about it here on Peck Report. You'd have to go back in the archives to find it, but and we have a couple articles on the website as well. But for a really good starting point, like a really good concise starting point, you can check out Dr. Michael Heiser's show Fringe Pop 321 on YouTube. And he did a show recently on the Noahide laws. It's pretty short. I think it's only like 15 minutes long or something. And it's a really good overview, and it sets you on the right course, because again, there's a lot of misinformation about it. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but there's a lot of misinformation about it out there. And that would be a good starting point. So I would suggest that if you just look in YouTube, just search Michael Heiser, Fringe Pop 321, Noahide laws. It should come right up. Now, Rabbi Yoel Schwartz, the head of the Sanhedrin's Noahide court and a highly respected Torah authority, emphasized that the nations of the world have a prophesied role in the building of the temple, and he based his opinion on a Midrashic or homiletic teaching tradition of a verse in Song of Songs. Song of Songs 2:7 from the Israel Bible says, "I adjure you, O maidens of Yerushalayim, by gazelles or by hinds of the field, do not wake or rouse love until it please." According to this, it says the term "I adjure you, maidens of Jerusalem" is repeated four times in Song of Songs, and the term "maidens" or "benot" can also be translated as "build." So Rabbi Schwartz says, quote, "The Midrash teaches that the non-Jews are the maidens of Jerusalem, have taken an oath to initiate the building of the third temple, and after they begin, we will join in their effort. Trump is certainly moving in this direction," end quote. Now, another rabbi who believes that the U.S. president will play a major role in the construction of the Third Temple is Rabbi Yosef Berger, the rabbi of King David's tomb on Mount Zion. Rabbi Berger emphasized that it is essential that President Trump, as a Christian, take a role in the building of the Third Temple. Rabbi Berger quoted Rabbi Baya ben Asher ibn Halawa. Wow, what a tough name. A 13th century Spanish biblical commentator, also known as Rabenu Baya. The medieval scholar wrote that, quote, "The first and second temples were built by the descendants of King David, but in the future, the third temple will be built by descendants of Edom," end quote. Rabbi Berger emphasized that these sources state explicitly that the third temple will be built by the descendants of Rome, i.e. Christianity. Rabbi Berger said, quote, Rabbeinu Behei explained this is a tikkun or reparation. Rome destroyed the second temple, so Rome's descendants, the Christians, are going to amend this by taking part in bringing the third temple. Like Cyrus, Trump's connection to the Messiah is that he will play a role in one of the major functions of the Messiah. He will pave the way for building the third temple. Trump will not personally merit building the temple. Like Cyrus, he will pave the way for men who will begin the construction, and when the time is right, the third temple will descend from heaven. No leader in history has recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the Jews and Israel. He has already created a great tikkun reparation for the Christians through his unprecedented relationship with Jerusalem. Trump is the representative of Edom that will perform that final historic reparation for his entire nation by building the temple, end quote. All right. Now, this whole paving the way thing. Again, I think that's a callback to freedom. A lot of people are saying that Trump is just absolute evil incarnate because of his possible role in a third temple. But again, I haven't seen specific support, like specifically for a third temple from Trump. What I've seen is hints at he wants Israel to be free without real mention of a third temple. Now, you know, fine, I'm on that same page. Will they use their freedom for something evil? Probably. They're human beings, just like the rest of us are. And will that something be used by the Antichrist? Probably. I mean, it seems like the prophecies are pretty cut and dry, though, again, there is some wiggle room as far as how to interpret them. But again, what's the other option? The other option is to oppress the Jewish people and not allow them to have freedom, not allow them to have freedom to, you know, make a mistake or make a really bad mistake. And yes, that mistake is if it plays out in that way, it's going to deceive a lot of people and send a lot of people to hell, which is awful. But again, wouldn't people be sent to hell anyway if we are not standing with Israel, if we are trying to actively oppress the Jewish people, if we stand with Palestine instead? Are they going to be any steps closer to accepting Christianity if they see us as just another oppressive force that they have to deal with, one of many that they've always had to deal with? That's a good way to ensure that they'll never come to Christ. So I'm always on the side of freedom, even if it means that somebody's going to use that freedom for evil, because they certainly will. I mean, we're all human beings. And think about it, to varying degrees, but we have all used our freedom for evil, every single one of us. You know, maybe not to the extent of, you know, shooting up a Walmart or something like that, but we've all used the freedom that we have. We have all abused that freedom, and we have all committed sins through that freedom, every single one of us. So once you realize that, then it's like, okay, are you going to play the game of whose sin is worse? Or are you just going to realize that we're all sinful human beings? But that doesn't mean that God restricts our freedom because of that. God doesn't restrict our freedom, so we have no right to restrict the freedom of others. We just don't. The best thing that you can do is pray for people and get them saved. That will solve really all the world's problems, right? If everybody was a Christian, then the only thing that we would have to argue about is which rapture theory is correct, you know? I mean, think about like the problems we have in the church, and there are significant problems in the church, but a lot of it has to do with like heretical things. You don't really have Christians going out and slaughtering other Christians. You don't really have that. The problems that we have are more like doctrinal. They're more theological. They're more arguments. You don't even really see, it's not a widespread epidemic of like Christians even like fist fighting each other over a difference of opinion. You know, what we have is a problem of division. You know, we have like gotcha ministries that profit off of Christian division within the church. And before somebody says, oh, well, Jesus said he came with the sword and he came to divide. Yeah, he came to divide the believers from the non-believers, not believers from other believers. That's never taught. Jesus has never said to do that. The only time that you remove somebody from your church is if it's like a leaven in the loaf kind of situation. If it's a situation where they're causing so much trouble that they're bringing down the church and they're bringing other people into their sinful ways and stuff like that, because then that's like an infection and it can infect the whole church. Then maybe you need to remove somebody, but there's still a protocol for that. There's still a protocol for, you know, if somebody sins against you, how to deal with that. And I don't see a whole lot of Christians doing that today. You know, probably there's a lot more that do it than don't. But the ones that don't are the ones that are all over the internet posting ridiculous articles and these YouTube comments that don't make any sense. So you get a lot of that stuff. Let's see, where are we? You know, speaking of which, that's a good segue into so-called articles these hit pieces that were written about me and Mark Taylor. We'll talk about that. And I really should send them a thank you email, because they gave us some free publicity. We've seen a slight uptick in, you know, I say slight because their audiences aren't really that big, but we've seen a slight uptick in views. So that's really good to see. I'm excited about that. So I probably should send them a thank you email, but either way, so we're going to talk about this, because, you know, all kidding aside, I do want to get at the truth of what was really said. And you all at home, you can go and look at this stuff on your own. Just go to Into the Multiverse on YouTube and look up my recent interview with Mark Taylor and just watch the thing. It's not that long. It's only half an hour long, so it won't take you that much time. And then that way you'll be a lot more informed than if you only watch the minute and a half clip that, I forget which one of these did that. I think it was Right Wing Watch. Was it? Yes. Yeah. They took a They just flat out like stole a clip, a minute and a half clip. I think they're allowed to do it though, because I think it's a oh, what do they call it? I forget the term, but if you're commenting on a clip, then but usually that's like within a video. Usually you take a clip, you put it in a video, and then you comment it. You know, I've done that before, but this is just outright. They took the clip, they posted it as its own video, right on their website. Yeah, and so. I don't know if that fair use, that's the thing. I don't know if that's fair use or not. I really don't. But either way, I'm not gonna come after them about it. They can post all the clips of ours that they like, because again, it helps us. It gives us some more publicity. And I guess I'm returning the favor. I guess I'm doing that for them too. So yeah, guys, if you want a really good example of publications that thrive on hit pieces and disinformation, go check out rightwingwatch.org and go check out Reformation Charlotte. While you're there, check out Pulpit in the Pen. I think Pulpit in the Pen did a story on us as well. I actually probably should check that out. I believe they did too, but I didn't see it at first. Well, I'll have to search for that while we're talking here, but maybe they didn't. But anyway, if they did, it would have been basically a repeat of Reformation Charlotte, or Reformation Charlotte is basically a repeat of Pulpit in the Pen. You know, I've compared their articles, and they're basically almost like word for word, like exact copies of each other. So if you get one, you get the other basically already. So anyway, okay, we're going to talk about that. Before we go, though, I want to tell you about my good friends at Coastline Kratom. If you are a chronic pain sufferer like me, I have a very rare degenerative bone disease. Incredibly rare. I mean, it's a literally one in a million. And there are no experts on the disease that I have. It's called Trevor's disease. There's some doctors that know a little bit more than others about it, but there's no like expert in it because so little is known about it. I've actually been a case study because of this. Anyway, causes a lot of pain. And I used to be hopelessly addicted to narcotics because I thought, well, if I want to function in the world, I need to not be in constant searing pain all the time. And that was, I thought, my only option. This was before I learned about Kratom. So now I don't take narcotics. I have removed myself from this opioid epidemic we see in our country, which honestly, if I would have stayed in that, I'd probably be dead now. With as much as I was taking, as often as I was taking it, how depressed I was during that whole period of my life, I probably would be dead. I actually have very little doubt about that. But thankfully, I learned about Kratom. It has given me my life back. I take Kratom every day. And again, since I've been taking CBD, I haven't had to take as much Kratom, which is nice. Now, I cannot give you specific instructions because just me mentioning Kratom could mean that YouTube removes this video. But I will say there's a lot of information out there. If you are a Daily Renegade member, you can find videos that I've done on Kratom specifically. But if you want a really good Kratom, if you want to try this out, again, do your own research. There's a lot of misinformation about it out there. Do your own research. But Coastline Kratom is great. They also offer a money-back guarantee. They have a wide variety of strengths and strains. So no matter what your tolerance level is, you will be able to find something that works for you. I suggest getting the Ultra Enhanced Pack, the Variety Pack. What I like about this is, for one thing, it's a variety, so you get a bunch of different strains, so you can try and see what works best for you. But it's also ultra enhanced. So if you end up having a low tolerance, you are not going to need much of this stuff, and it'll last you a really long time. If you end up having a higher tolerance, it's ultra enhanced, so it'll be able to suit your needs too, and you won't have to take as much as you would with a normal blend. So that's what I like about it. If you want to try it out, but you can click on the link in the description below, or you can go to dailyrenegade.com. Now, you will have to set up a Zelle Pay account with these guys because a lot of credit card companies don't want to deal with the sale of Kratom because of all the political garbage around it today. Also, a good source of information, the American Kratom Association. You should check them out. They've got some good info. You do have to set up a Zelle Pay account on their website, but it's super easy. It only takes a second. They also do accept cryptocurrency. So if you have Bitcoin or something like that, you can use that. They have other things, but if you want to use a credit card, you got to set up a Zelle Pay. Incredibly easy to do. It only takes a second, and then you can get as much as you want. And I think it's a good idea to stock up. I'm certainly going to be doing that because they are cracking down on this stuff, and we never know what's going to happen. We could wake up tomorrow and find out that Kratom has been banned all across America. So they've tried to do it before. They're continuing to try to do it. So stock up today. Click on the link in the description below, or just go to dailyrenegade.com and find the banner at the top of the homepage. Also, while you're there, you'll see a link to The Chosen right on the top of the website. You should check that out. I've heard very, very, very good things about it. It's a great movie. Just go check that out, and you won't regret it. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, we're going to move to members content now. If you are not already a member, you should go and become a member. You can do that at dailyrenegade.com. It is only $10 a month or $100 a year. Get the $100 a year annual membership, because then you get 2 months for free and you don't have to think about it for a whole year. It's a great deal. Also, with all the improvements that are coming for the website, and we're going to be... In the near future, we're going to be moving really, really fast on this. I've recently made some decisions basically, so I don't bore you with all the details, but basically what it means is the improvements that have been coming, the improvements for the website that we've been waiting for, they are going to start coming really, really fast. I've made some decisions that I'm confident about, and it's going to be good. So when all those come, because all of these improvements, everything that we're doing, it's costly. Because of that, I can't promise that the price is always going to stay what it is today. I can't promise that it's always going to be $10 a month or $100 a year. It might increase. Now, it's not going to increase for existing members. So get a membership now while you can, because the price might go up in the near future to compensate for everything that we're doing. But either way, it's totally worth it, because you get full episodes of Peck Report. You get full episodes of everything that we do. We have something like a dozen shows, and we have more that we want to add. We're also building the vault, the Daily Renegade Vault, which is going to be a repository of all of your favorite researchers' videos that you can get all in one place, so you don't have to search all over the place on YouTube. It'll all be there. We are basically the Netflix of fringe Christianity. So, like, Netflix has original movies and shows, except they're all evil, and we're not, hopefully, but they're all just horrible and evil. They have originals, but they also have just regular movies that you can find in other places if you want to go hunt them down. Netflix makes it convenient because it's all in one place. Well, that's what we're doing. So we say, you know, your Netflix money is better spent with us, because then you're actually helping build something amazing. Plus, as I've talked about before, we also support three ministries and one just good effort. St. Jude's, you wouldn't really call that a ministry. You know, it's not like a Christian ministry exactly. But they do heal children of cancer. They healed my son of cancer. So we support St. Jude's. We support, we support a pro-life, effort ministry through, Tom Dunn and his daughter. So if you're familiar with Tom Dunn, he, co-hosts Through the Black and Through the Black Uncensored here on Daily Renegade. He and his daughter are very, very active in the pro-life movement, so we support them. And then we have two ministries that we told you about recently in the Shelley Niece interview that minister to the Jewish people and promote spreading the gospel in Israel. So all of that, we give 20% of your membership to those efforts. Each, you know, four efforts, each one gets 5%. So you're supporting some really good causes, and it's just a good thing to do. So again, dailyrenegade.com, and if you're not a member already, go become a member. For everybody who is watching this for free on YouTube and Facebook, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time. Don't forget to subscribe, click the bell, follow us. We're all over online, so you can find us everywhere. Basically, name a platform and we're on it. Even a lot of the alternative ones like Minds and MeWe and stuff like that. We're everywhere, Brighteon. So go check us out there. And so for all you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Until next time. Again, please become a member. Take care and God bless. Okay, members only. Thank you so much for your membership. Thank you for your support. So let's talk about Yeah, let's talk about these recent hit pieces. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to put this on screen share so you can see what I'm looking at. Here we go. So let's do, I guess we'll do Right Wing Watch first because that's the one that I'm on. Now this is Multiverse interview that I did with Mark Taylor recently. It was about QAnon and justice and prophecy and, you know, a lot of just like Mark Taylor kind of stuff. And it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a great interview. And so they posted Right Wing Watch. And look, they even put their little, if you can see it there in the corner, they put their own little bug in there. So you know that this is a Right Wing Watch thing. But they put their own thing in here. Mark Taylor says those who mock him are putting their lives in their own hands. Okay, now when you have, that is a clickbait title if I've ever seen one. When you write something in that way, they know what they're doing. They're trying to make it sound without just saying, they're trying to make it sound like Mark Taylor is threatening people, that Mark Taylor himself is going to do something if people don't support him. Which is ridiculous. If you've ever heard Mark Taylor talk or ever met him in person, he's like the most gentle, sweetest guy you could ever meet. But he is also like really firm in his beliefs. So let's see. Mark Taylor, a radical right-wing conspiracy theorist. You know, I would like to know what Right Wing Watch considers a non-radical right-wing person. You know, because I've heard this so many times. Whenever the left criticizes people on the right, they always call them the far right or the radical right or the alt-right. You know, what is just a normal person on the right to them? Who would that person be? Probably Obama, who is absolutely not on the right. But I think to these people, they're so delusional that they would consider Obama a centrist or something. Okay. Mark Taylor, a radical right-wing conspiracy theorist and so-called firefighter prophet. You know what? And I got to be honest. The Reformation one is even more egregious than the Right Wing Watch. But, you know, we'll take the mild one first and then get into the spicy stuff later. But, by the way, Mark Taylor has never called himself a prophet. And actually, if they watched the video through anything else besides their own bias, right in the beginning of the video, when I was talking to Mark Taylor, I told him, now I know you don't call yourself a prophet, because he doesn't. And then he agreed that he does not call himself that. Anyway, appeared on the Into the Multiverse program earlier this week. What happens when you open this? Does this actually go to the video or does it go to their clip? I think this actually goes to the video. Yeah, hey, it goes to the actual video. Well, good on them for at least linking to the source. A lot of publications won't even do that. Where he once again warned that those who dare to mock him will be struck down by God. By the way, that is not what he said. Can you imagine Mark Taylor saying, if you disagree, what's the thing here? Warn that those dare, if you mock me, God's gonna strike you down. Like, can you imagine Mark Taylor being such a child about that? Like, it's kind of a funny thought, but no, he did not. He clearly did not say that. Now we were talking about was how Christians. Here, let me take it off screen share for a minute. Christians will bash each other online a lot, and they'll get really hateful. Or they'll spread disinformation about people like Mark Taylor, which was actually a big part of the interview, which is ironic that they would, you know, listen to that and then go and do the exact thing that we were, you know, criticizing. But, you know, probably they didn't watch the whole video. Probably they just kind of skipped around looking for little sound bites they could use for their own narrative, to support their own narrative. But we were talking about that, and we were talking about how... it's expressly forbidden in the Bible to do that to one another, not just Mark Taylor, and not because he's a prophet or whatever, just that we as Christians are supposed to be unified. You know, the prayer that Jesus had to the Father was that we would be as unified as he is to the Father. I mean, can you imagine that level of unification? And we're nowhere near that. And, you know, people might say, you know, well, that's impossible. Well, then why did Jesus pray it? You know, I mean, it might be impossible, but it's a good standard to at least strive for. We can at least try, can't we? Do we have to succumb to our sinful nature and prideful egos and bash each other at every chance we get? You know, all these people that think that they know what's going on with Mark Taylor, and they know he's a false prophet and all that. How many of them have actually prayed for him? Or how many of them, you know, actually, how about this? How many of them have reached out to me and asked me? I know him personally. You know, I'll tell you, you really find out who your true friends are, and people who want to think for themselves rather than believing and just falling into a narrative that's laid out easily for them. You find out who people really are when stuff like this comes out, because there are quite a few people that I was really surprised by that have been following me for years, who shared these articles and completely agreed with them, especially the Reformation Charlotte one. And that one kind of took me by surprise, because it's so blatantly just a hit piece filled with disinformation that I can't believe anyone would fall for it. But again, you know, a lot of times people don't even read the articles. They just read the headlines and they share it and they say, I knew this all along. And they don't take any time to do any research to learn what Mark Taylor actually really said. And they're contributing to this this culture we have of laziness and just outright believing any narrative that's laid out before you, because it's easy. Then you don't have to think. You don't have to think for yourself. And look, like I said before, you don't have to hunt for stuff to be critical of. Like, if you got to go out of your way to just blatantly make stuff up, to really stick it to somebody, well, then you're not doing your homework. I mean, then you just have a propensity for lies. Then you're just naturally driven towards disinformation and lies, and it's really all rooted in pride is what it is. But like I said, there's plenty of stuff. Like, if somebody wanted to criticize me, oh my gosh, I had a past in drug abuse that I've been very, very open about. I used to do drugs every day. I was a big time New Ager, and when I was in New Age, I called myself a Christian. My first book that I was going to write was going to be how Christians can accept New Age into their faith. I mean, basically the opposite of what Second Coming of the New Age turned out to be. Thank God, you know, the Lord got me out of that deception, but I was caught up in that. There's so much stuff in my past that I've been open about that if you want something to criticize, you know, at least be truthful about it. You don't have to make stuff up. I've given you plenty to work with, but they don't want that. They want the sensational headline of the day, and you know, they want to, because there really isn't a whole lot of stuff that's controversial about Mark Taylor when you actually dig into what he says, you don't even have to dig into it, just when you listen to what he says, or when you read what he says, or you know, and you don't have like these straw men arguments. When you get rid of all that, you find out, oh, there's actually really not a whole lot of controversy here. He's basically just saying stuff that the Bible says. That's basically what it boils down to. But that's not exciting. That is not going to get clicks. People aren't interested in that. People are interested in the gossip of the day. They're interested in the gotcha ministries. And I call them that because it's like gotcha journalism, you know? That's what people are doing to Trump all the time. You know, like basically CNN is proficient in gotcha journalism. They try to get somebody on something, and then they focus on that. Well, you have whole ministries built around that now. I mean, these ministries are built around the de-unification of the church. I mean, it's just outright evil. Now, again, Right Wing Watch is not, as far as I know, it's not a Christian organization. It's just a leftist kind of Media Matters-esque type of publication. But Anyway, so it continues. Where he once again warned that those who dare mock him will be struck down by God. He did not say that. All right. Taylor, about whom Liberty University made a movie last year, considers himself to be a prophet, which means that he is not to be the subject of criticism or mockery. All right. For one thing, he never said that he's a prophet. And he did not say that because he's a prophet, he should not be the subject of criticism or mockery. And then it says, in accordance with Psalm 105, do not touch my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Okay. Now, what we were talking about in the interview was no Christian should be mocking. Criticizing is different. You can criticize. You can criticize and be totally in love and unity with somebody. You know, you can criticize somebody's sinful behavior. You know, there's actually a line. There's a point where it would be sinful to not criticize. You know, if you have a brother in the Lord who has fallen into some kind of sin or something, and you believe that you could reach him, you believe that you could get through to him, then you should criticize the sin. But criticism doesn't mean mocking. Those are two totally different things. You know, you can criticize in a very loving, non-hateful, non-angry kind of way. So, no, we should criticize each other, but that's what iron sharpening iron is all about. Now, mocking? No. There is no reason for any Christian to mock any other Christian, you know. At least not from, like, this place of deep-seated hate. Now, I'm being a little bit flippant about, you know, Right Wing Watch and Reformation Charlotte and all of this stuff, but, you know, maybe some of that is mockery. Maybe that's something that I have to work on. But at the same time, I'm not really doing it out of hate. To me, it's trying to bring attention to a larger issue where what me and Mark were talking about were Christians legitimately mocking out of hate other Christians on YouTube comments. And you know what I'm talking about. We've all seen it. You know, the little bit of poking fun I'm doing here, I would not put that in the same category. Maybe some would. I personally wouldn't. To me, I think that is an argument of technicality, which is like, you know, well, technically, you know, it's like that tone of well, actually what this means is, or well, technically you're doing this. I don't like that stuff. I want to know what the spirit behind something is. But what we were talking about in the interview was that no Christian should be subject to that level of just intense mockery and hatred from our fellow brothers and Christians. And then we used Mark as an example of exactly this, because there are a lot of Christians who have, from a very deep-seated place of hate, from a very, very dark heart, have come and said some of the most vile, ugly things about Mark that just have no basis in it. You know, it's one thing to disagree with him. You can disagree with him. There's nothing wrong with that. You can totally disagree with him. You can even criticize him. You can criticize me. You can disagree with me. There's nothing wrong with that. This isn't about hurt feelings or about, like, poking fun. This is about an infection of actual direct hate that a person will exercise in, and in doing so spread false information, spread lies, and generate the hate even more. So it's two totally different things. All right, so Taylor said, quote, I want to put this warning out. God says specifically in his word, don't touch my anointed, but especially my prophets, end quote. Yep. Now, if you only took this quote here at face value, what is wrong? Is he wrong? Does the Bible not say that? You know, if the Bible warns about something, should he not put out a warning? Taylor said that in biblical times, if someone attacked a prophet, it was only heard of by those within earshot, whereas today, those who criticize prophets like him do so via massive platforms like Twitter or Facebook, where their heretical attacks can reach a global audience. All right, well, that is obviously spun, but essentially, you know, that is part of what we were talking about. That yes, when you send out this hatred online today, it reaches a lot more than just a few people in your community. It reaches a global audience. So if God doesn't like that, if God doesn't like the intentional spreading of lies and hate and, you know, disunity and stuff like that, how much more does he hate it when it's done on a global scale? So we weren't talking about people specifically against Mark. We were using Mark as an example of a larger issue. But they, you know, they at Right Wing Watch want to focus on Mark because he's what gets them clicks. And if you don't believe me, just go on rightwingwatch.org and in their search bar, type in Mark Taylor and see how many times they've reported on this guy. You know, Mark Taylor is not like a big time right wing leader, you know, in any sense of the word. You know, he's got a pretty decent, you know, Christian following, but you know, as far as the political right, most people in the right wing wouldn't even deal with him. You know, most people wouldn't. Anyway, he said, okay, God's going to hold them accountable, he said. Before you tap on that enter button, you better think twice and pray and ask the Lord, hey, is this something I need to be putting out there again for the entire world to see? Because right now, literally, you're going to be putting your life in your own hands at this point. Absolutely correct. And again, this is not because somebody sends Mark Taylor a mean tweet. See, this right here is intentionally disingenuous, what they're doing. They're trying to make it sound like Mark Taylor is such a child that he can't handle somebody insulting him on Twitter. So now he's ranting and raving about how God's going to strike them down if they do that. That is, you know what? It's intentional because there is no way to watch that interview and come away with that interpretation unless you're deliberately trying to set up a straw man. Because again, that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about the larger issue of Christians in general going out and attacking other Christians online just to suit their own pride, just to suit their own ego, because it makes them feel better about themselves. You know, if they bash on some other Christian, it makes them feel like they're big time. It feeds their pride. And pride cometh before the fall, right? There's a lot of people that have lost their lives due to an inflated ego or an inflated pride problem. A lot of people. That happens a lot of times when you I mean, just think about sometimes drug addicts who don't get out of drug addiction because they think that they have a handle on it. They can deal with it on their own. They can keep doing, and I'm not talking about people who struggle with drugs. That's different. I'm talking about people who indulge in it, who don't see it as a sin, who see it as that they're so good at it that this thing could not kill them because they know what they're doing and they don't see it as a sin. They don't struggle with it. They fully enjoy being on drugs and stuff. And what happens? They overdose and die, unfortunately. And that's tragic. But, you know, and again, I'm not talking about somebody who's truly struggling with a sin, somebody who knows that it's wrong, knows that they shouldn't be doing it, but they're addicted to it and are having a really difficult time stopping. That actually shows some humility. I'm talking about the prideful ones. And that's just one example. But there's a lot of situations where people end up losing their own lives because of pride. I guess that was the whole story. I was going to say continuing on, but yeah, look at all this. Look how much they report on this guy. You might also like, you know, Mark Taylor says those who call him a false prophet are literally endangering their lives. Isn't that the one that we just looked at, or is that something else? Did they write the same story twice? I actually didn't click on this. Oh my gosh, I didn't even see this one. This is from a while ago. Did they copy the first paragraph? I'm sorry. I did not see this before then. I didn't know that that Right Wing Watch commented on the Daily Renegade interview that we did on Peck Underground Church with Mark Taylor. I didn't know that they did this. Thank you for sending people to Daily Renegade Right Wing Watch. But talk about lazy. Like, look, they literally just copied and pasted the first paragraph. Look at this. All right, so in the one that we just looked at, Mark Taylor, a radical right-wing conspiracy theorist and so-called firefighter prophet. Let me get these in like two different windows so we can so I can show you side by side. All right, how do I do this? Here we go. Let's see. I want to see how similar these are. Okay. Mark Taylor, a radical right-wing conspiracy theorist, a so-called firefighter prophet. Mark Taylor, a radical right-wing conspiracy theorist, a so-called firefighter prophet. Appeared on the Into the Multiverse program. Appeared on the Daily Renegade program over the weekend, earlier this week, where he warned that those who call him false prophet are literally risking their lives because God will punish them. Where he once again warned that those who dare to mock him will be struck down by God. I mean, it's basically a... look at this. It's a copy and paste job. Who would read this stuff? Taylor, about whom Liberty University made a movie last year. Taylor, about whom Liberty University made a movie last year, considers himself to be a prophet. Said he's often accused of being a false prophet. Oh my gosh. Then it looks like it gets a little bit different here. But yeah, I didn't. And again, they took a clip from our program. I didn't know that they did that. But anyway, that's. That's kind of funny. Talk about lazy. Wow. I don't know. But again, when you have a narrative, you see stuff like that. You'll get the same thing repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again. What's this one? But yeah, look how much they report on this guy. Like, it's the same. Look at this. It is the same opening paragraph. Mark Taylor, the radical right-wing conspiracy theorist, so-called firefighter prophet about whom Liberty University made a movie on. Oh, my gosh. I wonder how this one begins. Let's see. Oh. I was about to get excited because I thought it was going to be a little differently. Or I thought it was going to be worded. I thought it was going to be a little different. It's worded a little differently, but that's still basically the same thing. Oh, my gosh. That is funny. Yeah, they report on Mark a lot. Here he goes again. Mark Taylor is a so-called firefighter prophet. Alarming prophecy in scare quotes. Oh, man. All right. So that's kind of funny. Anyway, so you see that a lot. And you know what? I expect that from the left because that's basically the definition of fake news. You know, I expect that from the left, but from our own Christians, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm not one to doubt somebody's salvation, but I would not call Reformation Charlotte a ministry that's doing the good work of God. Like I personally would not. And it's not even just because they came out against me. I don't care about that. Like I said, people can be critical of me all they want, but the hit pieces that they write, I mean, like they literally will mock a Christian leader if they fall from grace and they disavow Christianity. Instead of doing some introspection and thinking like, wow, what led them to do that? Like, is it possible that there's something that we as Christians could be doing better? No, they don't want to look at that because, you know, we as Christians are doing everything perfect. It's their problem. It's their. Now, obviously, you know, if somebody denies Christ, they're at fault. They're going to be held accountable for that. It's their responsibility. They are personally accountable for God, to God for that. But at the same time, to look at that and just have nothing but scorn about it, like, no, there's not even just a call to prayer, at least. Like, hey, can we pray for this guy? Nothing like that. Have I seen from Reformation Charlotte. And they do this stuff a lot. I mean, they make their whole living based on this gotcha ministry stuff, and it's really just disgusting. So, Reformation Charlotte was a lot more inflammatory than even Right Wing Watch. Right Wing Watch was pretty tame compared to these guys. So check this out. We got screen share on. False prophet, Mark Taylor. Okay, so they're just outright calling him that. Not alleged, you know, not it's their opinion. Just he's just a false prophet, but they don't give any evidence why they say that. Name a prophecy that he got wrong. If they're and you know, I actually put this out there to people. If it's so easy, if Mark Taylor is a false prophet, then it should be very easy to find false prophecies that he has said or come up with. But you know what? You know what you're going to find? Anytime that somebody comes up with a so-called false prophecy, it was when Mark was giving his opinion about something. They don't separate the two. People, his detractors won't separate those two. And that was a big part. That's why this is so ironic, because that was a big part of our interview on Into the Multiverse, because I asked Mark about that. I said, like, okay, now, obviously not every single word out of your mouth is a prophecy. Sometimes you have opinions about things. And so, you know, how often does that happen? And he said, unless I actually say that this is a direct word from the Lord, it is unreasonable to assume that I'm saying that it's a direct word from the Lord. With all the times that you see people writing these hit pieces on him or claiming, oh, here's another false prophet, you would think that Mark Taylor is just constantly prophesying stuff. He's not. He actually doesn't really prophesy all that much. What he does do, though, is he does offer his opinion as a human being, as a flawed human being, as we all are. He does offer his opinion on things, and he has every right to do so. We all do that. But people don't want to separate Mark Taylor from the man and then the prophetic word of God stuff. They don't want to do that because, again, it doesn't fit the narrative. You know, once you call somebody a false prophet, you're basically married to that idea because you don't want to admit that you might have been wrong about something like that. And look, I think the easiest position is just to say, you know, I really don't know what to do about that, but, you know, I just have yet to see a false prophecy from Mark Taylor. Actually, we just at Skywatch, we just re-released his book, The Trump Prophecies. We re-released it with notes showing how everything he said in the book has come true to the point. I mean, there's still future stuff. You know, it's like the Book of Revelation. You know, if you're a futurist like I am, then there's still stuff that hasn't happened yet. It doesn't mean they're false prophecies. It just means they haven't happened yet. But so far, there hasn't been anything that Mark has written in that book that has happened in a different way that he said it would. And to prove it, we've re-released the book and we've marked every single time and put notes on it with, you know, sources and things showing how everything that he said actually came true. So look, if you believe in prophecy or not, I don't know what to tell you. I have not seen a false prophecy from this guy. I haven't seen it. I've seen a lot of straw men. I've seen a lot of lazy journalism. You know, a lot of the spreading of lies like this, but I have not actually seen a legitimate false prophecy. Okay, so let's continue here. Says those who mock him are putting their lives in danger. All right, again, he did not say that. I'm going to take a leap of faith here. And despite what, okay, they're not taking a leap of faith. They're taking the easy way out. They're doing what they always do. They're just taking the easy way out to just throw somebody under the bus without actually doing some work into seeing what the person actually said or trying to understand anything from anybody else's point of view except their own. Which that attitude is like a cancer in the church, man. Just everybody assuming that their own view is the correct one and they will not look at issues from other people's point of view. They won't take a moment to think, why do so many people refer to Mark as a prophet? They just think everybody's stupid. You know, they won't actually take time to understand why some people believe that. Despite what Taylor warns of, I'm going to write this article anyway and post it on social media. All right, they're just mocking and making fun here. Obviously, they don't think there's any threat to this. And by the way, I don't either. I don't think God's going to, who is this, Jeff Maples? I don't think God's going to strike Jeff Maples dead for writing this article. But I don't believe that Mark Taylor would go out and say that either. Jeff Maples apparently has not taken the time to understand what Mark was saying or understand the context. Because again, it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit what Reformation Charlotte actually is. And they have to keep pumping out articles to continue. You know, they have to keep pumping this stuff out so you'll click on ads like how to save 15% off of students by going to Vineyard Vines or whatever. But they need you to keep clicking on articles to keep their company going. So this is how they do it with this outlandish, sensationalized garbage. Mark Taylor is a false prophet who is regularly quoted and published on Charisma News. Okay, cite a source. Cite a false prophecy. That wasn't just one of Mark's opinions that he just happened to express. You can ordinarily watch Mark Taylor blather on with his, I just hate this kind of thing, you know, and I'm not even offended by it. It's just so immature and annoying. You know, I'll be honest, there's some on the right. I don't like it when it's done either. Like, I like I like Louder with Crowder, the show, but I don't like the articles really, because they just, to me, they just, I get it. He's a comedian. They're supposed to be written in like a funny kind of manner. And some people like that. I personally, I don't read Louder with Crowder articles because they just come off as so immature to me. And it's because of this kind of stuff. You know, just these little digs and these little insults that don't really add anything to the story. They all it does is just gin up people's you know, hatred and pride, really. It speaks to people's pride, and that's why people are drawn to this kind of stuff. I don't like it. I think it's really an immature way of getting a message across, and this is why I don't really even believe Jeff Maples believes everything he's saying, because if he really thought that Mark Taylor was this big time false prophet who's leading people into the gates of hell, what's with the mocking tone? Shouldn't you be taking it more seriously? Like, shouldn't really, does Mark Taylor blathering on, blah, 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 does that really do any good? Is that going to get souls saved? Is that going to convince people? Wouldn't you focus more time on actually citing sources, doing your due diligence, finding out exactly what Mark is saying to make sure that people don't end up in hell over it or something, if you really believed that? And that's why this way of writing articles, it rubs me the wrong way, because it seems disingenuine. It seems like clickbait stuff. Like, you write an article like that to attract more people, not to actually get the information out. So, you know, like at Daily Renegade, I give my writers a lot of freedom to write in their own style, excuse me. But I don't think any of them has ever written anything with that type of tactic. And if they did, I would ask them not to do that, because it doesn't do any good. All it does is teach people that mocking is the way to get your point across. It's infantile. It's immature. You see that a lot on the left, by the way. And but some Christians are getting involved in that. And it comes from a place of hate. It's not just a, you know, a little bit of light poking fun and just kind of having fun with the situation. It's not that. It comes from a place of hate. You know, that's why it just rubs me so the wrong way. It would be different if it was just kind of like a light poking fun, and, you know, kind of like what I'm doing here. Not right at this moment. Like, right now I'm being pretty serious. But, you know, like, I was kind of making fun of Right Wing Watch about copying and pasting the same paragraph over and over again, because that is kind of funny. But it's not coming from a place of hate. I'm not using it's just, that is what they're doing, you know. So, and that's funny, but, you know, saying, you know, Mark Taylor blathering on and all this stuff, that's not what he's doing. But let's continue. His notoriously wrong prophecies, again, cite a source. There's no link, there's nothing. What is notoriously wrong about his prophecies? I bet you you're thinking of his opinions on the television program belonging to the disgraced televangelist rapist. All right, now that is egregious, because he is an alleged. And, you know, there are people at home that might say, oh, well, what's the difference? Well, there's a big difference. There's somebody who claims that somebody is a rapist, and then there are actual rapists. And when you don't make that distinction, you're actually doing a great disservice to victims of rape. It's, in a sense, it's normalizing rape. If you're just claiming that anybody who's been accused of being a rapist just is a rapist, you got to say alleged. Now, yes, he was accused of rape. I don't know he's never been prosecuted for it, but, you know, I don't know if that means anything. But to just outright call him a rapist, and again, no link, no citation, no proof. Somebody alleged something. That's what happened. So be accurate. You know, I would think they could get sued for something like that. But, you know, I don't know. But to call somebody an actual rapist, they need to be prosecuted for that. They actually need to be prosecuted in court of law, and that never happened. So that is just petty and below the belt. And it does a great disservice to victims of rape. I personally am kind of extra sensitive to this, and I try not to be overly emotional about it or anything, but before me and Christina got together, you know, before we started dating and, you know, we're married now and everything, but in her past, and she's been open about this. She's given her testimony online before, but she's a victim of rape. Her ex-boyfriend raped her. And so it really rubs me the wrong way when somebody just misuses that word. Sure, somebody might say, well, shouldn't you say alleged rapist? Well, the guy admitted to it, so at least, you know, to me personally. So I guess for the benefit of those who aren't in the inner circle of everything that happened, then yes, alleged rapist, fine. But that's why this, like, really rubs me the wrong way. On that specific situation, I have inside information that people don't. But on this one here on Reformation Charlotte, they do not have inside information that other people don't. They have no reason to just label him a rapist like that. That again is incredibly disingenuous and just really immature. They should put alleged in there. But they won't, because it's not as sensational. It's not going to get as many clicks, you know. Let's continue. Tax evader and felon Jim Baker. Taylor is one of many charismatic prophets like revivalist and Holy Ghost bartender Rodney Howard Brown, who have made pro-Trump spiritual prophecies into a cottage industry. I'm not familiar with this person. And again, I can't be, like, I have no way to find out who this is, because they didn't link any kind of source. They didn't cite any kind of source. Just really poor journalism. I don't know who the Holy Ghost bartender is, but just by the sound of that name, I think lumping this person in with Mark Taylor is probably not appropriate. And what's the only reason that they... What's the commonality? Pro-Trump spiritual prophecies? Is that the only point of connection between these two? Because it's ridiculous to lump them both into the same crowd then. Taylor calls himself the firefighter prophet. False. Mark Taylor has never called himself a prophet. He does not call himself the firefighter prophet. I can't believe that people read this stuff. I mean, it's just so easy to debunk, like, all this stuff that they're saying. Mark Taylor has never called himself a prophet. Look, again, if I'm wrong, it should be really easy to prove. Go find me one place anywhere where Mark Taylor specifically referred to himself as a firefighter prophet, where he said, yes, I am the firefighter prophet. Find me one time where he's ever said that. He's never called himself a prophet. He doesn't use that name for himself. He has said before, some people call me this, which is true. Some people do call him that, but he doesn't call himself that. That sentence could have easily just been rewritten as Taylor, who some call the firefighter prophet, and they could just continue on from there. But again, it's not as sensational, and sensation and clicks is their mission, not evangelism, not trying to get people saved, not trying to free people from deception. It's all about clicks. He was formerly a firefighter. And a few months ago, he made the headlines for claiming that Satan uses chemtrails to block people from experiencing God's supernatural power. I'm not familiar with this, but I'm sure that is being exaggerated. And of course, they're gonna link to their own article. You know, here's the thing. When you cite a source, you need to actually cite a source. Don't just link to another thing that you wrote. Let me see if there's actually... No, there's no citation. Oh, here we go. We have another, minute and a half clip from Right Wing Watch News. And again, those clips are taken out of context. So that's not citing a source. You know, because you can't pick up the context. That's why Right Wing Watch, they won't just only link you to the full video, because they don't want you getting the context. Sometimes they'll link to the video as well, but they'll take the clip that they're talking about, they'll steal it, and then re-upload it to their own Vimeo account. so that they can keep it out of context, because it's a lot easier to click on this, and they know most people aren't going to go search for the video. Anyway, in a recent YouTube video, Taylor tried to provide some deflection from his failed prophecy attempts and then gave some imprecatory words toward those who hold his prophecies to be fallacious. In what recent... In the chemtrail one? Well, give a quote. Again, just really poor journalism. There's no quote. There's not even... Like, what recent YouTube video? Like, it's not talking about this chemtrail one. Is it? It doesn't say. It just says in a recent YouTube video. So, again, we're expected to just take Reformation Charlotte's word for it and... When people don't cite their sources, when articles doesn't cite their sources, when they're vague, when they don't tell you specifically what somebody says and they just interpret it for you, they're feeding you a narrative. They're actually insulting you by assuming you can't think for yourself. So they're going to tell you what to believe. That's why this kind of stuff is just so immature. Okay. Now, Taylor claims that those who mock him are placing their lives in their own hands. Speaking highly presumptuously of himself, quoting 1 Chronicles 16:22, completely out of context, he says those who get on social media and type negative things about him are dangerously messing with God's anointed and prophets. Again, okay, we've already explained all of this. And what do you mean completely out of context? Look, saying touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Well, that's what he was talking about. But... Okay, I want to put this warning out because God says specifically in his word, do not touch my anointed, but specifically my prophets. Now, here's what I want to warn people about. Well, they get here on Facebook and social media and they start tapping away what they don't understand, what is that God's going to hold them accountable? Usually this is when there's something left out of a quote that should be in there that provides context that they don't want. Now, I don't know what specifically that is, but you can go and watch the video for yourself. But, again, they don't explain. How is this out of context? And I think that's really ironic and pretty hypocritical that they're going to claim Mark Taylor is out of context, but they're not keeping anything that Mark has said in context of what Mark was actually talking about. They didn't take the time to try to understand what me and Mark were talking about. Their whole publication is based on taking things out of context. Yet they're going to hypocritically lob that accusation at Mark without explaining how it's out of context. You know, at least here I've explained how they've taken Mark out of context in our interview. And that's it. Yeah, see here, this is the stuff they want you to click on. You know, how to get ready for the 2019 gold rush. This is how they make their money. You know, if you're over 40 and own a computer, this game is a must. This is what they do. They write these sensation, and they know they're doing it. It's a business for them. It's not a ministry. They write these sensational headlines so people will click on it and see all of these amazing ads. Look at everything you can get here. Oh, funny Costco moments captured on camera. You know, that's what they're really roping you in for. Bruce Jenner wants to be a mom. Wow. Wonder what's going on there. But this website, all it does... Yeah, look, top 10 false teachers you'll find in evangelical churches. The fall of Francis Chan and why he should be avoided. Pope affirms Muslims believe in same God again. Beth Moore calling homosexuality a sin is exceeding scripture. Time to kiss the Gospel Coalition goodbye. And there's a bunch of people, Mark Driscoll and a bunch of people. Like, they make their whole model is just throwing people under the bus. You don't learn anything. You don't learn why. You don't learn proper doctrine. You know, the best way, if you really care about the truth, the best way is to teach proper doctrine, and then people can think for themselves, and they can identify the false prophets themselves. You don't even have to do it. It's the easiest thing in the world. All you got to do is go out and teach proper doctrine, teach proper theology. But they don't want to do it because that's difficult. That's too hard. They don't want to do that. It takes too much thinking. It's way easier to just take somebody and take them out of context, build a straw man argument, and knowing that people are going to fall for that. So like I said before, You really find out who your true friends are when this kind of stuff happens. I have seen several people that that follow me, several people I've considered friends, people that I've even done radio shows together with, who have shared these articles around and agreed with them, and even have talked in comments about Skywatch in very negative ways and lobbying these conspiracy theories against Skywatch and stuff. Someone even said something about, you know, Skywatch was promoting a conference where they there were 33 speakers. I just can't believe that they would promote it knowing the significance of that number. Really? You have to go that far to find something to criticize, because we had 33 speakers at a conference that we promoted like years ago. So what? Because it's a Freemason thing? You know, we have red and blue on our set. That's a Freemason. Like, if you have to go that far to find something to criticize, then maybe there really isn't anything to criticize. But look, I'm not even, like I said, people can criticize, people can insult, and I'll know who my friends are. But what gets me is just the spread of lies. Like, what is the reason? You don't really believe what you're saying. You know, you don't really believe it. Otherwise, you would be able to find lots of legitimate reasons. You would be able to cite a source, you know? And like I said, look in my past, there's plenty of stuff to criticize. I know I've been forgiven. I know I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So I don't need you to accept that, you know? And I'm not talking about you, the members. I'm just talking about people who spread these lies. You guys are awesome. And you guys, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. So yeah, you know, it's eye-opening when this stuff happens, because are people going to fall into the narrative, into the lazy narrative that allows them to feel prideful and allows them to feel above somebody else because they can claim they're a false prophet? Are they going to do that? Or are they going to actually do their own diligence and just say, well, let me look into this first, because I don't know. Let me look into it. At least that. I'm not even saying people have to agree with me or Mark or Skywatch. You can totally disagree, but at least be genuine about it. My gosh, it's not that difficult. Just be genuine about it and do your own research and know why you feel the way you do. You know, if you got to reach so far as to find the number 33 somewhere, I mean, then you're just, what's the reason? You know, okay. So what, when you were 33 years old, was that your Freemason year? Should nobody listen to a 33-year-old, the significance of that number? Jesus was 33 when he died. It's so subjective. You know, you're seeing into it what you want to see. You want to see conspiracy. You want to see Freemasonry. You want to see Illuminati. You want to see all this stuff all over the place, and you're willing to spread lies over it. So anyway, sorry about the little rant there, but I've been meaning to talk about that for a while, and I just haven't been able to because I've been so sick. But like I said, I'm feeling a lot better, so that's great. Okay, we're going to conclude it there. I got a lot more to do today. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you for your membership, and until next time, take care and God bless.